sit at my table.
Dignity.
Security.
Freedom.
Freedom.
Respect.
Justice.
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 Equality.
Equality.
Remedy. And protection.
Fairness.
Fair trial.
Privacy.
Right.
Will.
Peace.
Losers.
Movement.
It's my mistake. Let me make it good. I raised the wall, and I will be the one to knock it down.
Asylum.
Identity.
Family.
Home.
Conscience.
Expression.
Expression.
Expression,
expression,
participation,
democracy,
welfare,
work,
work,
leisure,
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 health,
education,
focus,
culture,
human rights,
Cartagena,
solidarity,
responsibility.
Fill in the mortar. I raise the wall, and I'm the only one. I will be the one to knock it down.
Good afternoon to all of our listeners on CJTR Community Radio at 91.3 FM. And over the internet at cjtr.ca. We can also be heard on Sastel Max at channel 806 and Access Communications Digital Service at channel 700. Wherever you are, welcome to Human Rights Radio, hosted weekly by Amnesty International volunteers, who are a worldwide movement of people dedicated to the promotion of human rights and the safety of all human beings. We're building a world in which every person enjoys the rights included in the Universal Declaration of Human Rights and other human rights standards. Our theme song is titled 30 Words, the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, written and performed by REM and a collection of musicians from around the world. My name is Jim Hutchings, with my co-host Gord Barnes and our special guest Robbie Humble from the Saskatchewan Council for International Cooperation, better known perhaps as SCIC. Welcome.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Glad to have you back on the program. Last time you were here, we were talking about mining in Guatemala. Mm-hmm. And we're going to hear from you again, anybody that wants to come to the Unitarian Center on November 23rd, and we're going to elaborate on that.
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
But let's go back to what we're here for today. You wanted to talk about a special event.
Yeah, so we've got a couple really exciting projects on the go right now. And they both involve food issues and food sovereignty. So the first one I'll just mention quickly and then we can get back to it. But we are bringing Dr. Vandana Shiva to Regina this coming Tuesday, the 28th, at the University of Regina. The lecture is at 7:30, and we're really excited about it because she is an internationally recognized activist and leader when it comes to food issues, biodiversity, and she's written tons of books, and we're really excited to have her. But the other aspect that we wanted to talk about is a brand new mobile app and website that we've built. This is the first time we've done anything like this. So it's been a really exciting project. It's called Ethical Eats. And basically what it does is it connects people to global issues that are related to common food items. Everything from, you know, human rights and biodiversity. And that also connects people to Saskatchewan businesses that are selling more ethical options. So, things like fair trade, local and organic. So it's a really exciting project that brings together lots of different issues and actions that people can take.
So Robbie, when you say that's an app, what does that mean? Like, it's something I can get on my phone? Is that what it's all about?
Yeah, so what we did is it is an app, which means that you can download it on your smartphone.
Cool.
And we've made it accessible for people that both have iPhones or other Apple products as well as Android devices. But we've also made sure that it's a website as well, so that we're always about being accessible to as much as we can. And so we really didn't want to exclude people that don't use smartphones. You know, there's a lot of issues with technology too. but that being said, so the website itself is ethicaleats.ca, and it has all of the features that the mobile versions have. But the great thing about the mobile version is that because you can use your GPS on your phone, when you use the business directory, you can, you know, if you're from Regina and you're traveling up in Yorkton, you can turn on your GPS and find the closest place to you that's in the business, in the listing.
Wow, that's cool.
So that's kind of about accessibility, right? Yeah. We wanted to make ethical options easier to find. And so that was one way that we thought we could do that.
That's great. You know, I've always been impressed with the quality of the resources that SCIC puts together. And I'm thinking back to things like your resources that are available for teachers to work with students in high schools and elementary schools. But this one, that sounds really interesting, an app that you can get on your phone. That's cool.
Yeah, like I said, it's been a bit of a scary project. Anytime you do something new, it's a bit nerve-wracking. But we really wanted to try to do something that would have a bit of a lifespan to it, because sometimes, you know, you do a project and sometimes it's hard to do follow-up and things like that. So we wanted to develop a practical tool that people could use at their own convenience and make it fit into their lives. Mm-hmm. And hopefully have it have a bit of a lifespan. So
are you able to give us a few examples of the kinds of businesses that would be listed, say, here in Regina on the, if I connect through the app?
Sure. So because we're featuring fair trade, local, and organic food, and so it can be anything from like grocery stores to restaurants to direct farmer selling, so farmers markets or community supported agriculture. Those are the main ones that are featured there. But you know, we have coffee shops that sell fair trade, so you can be sure before you go there that they're going to have a fair trade option. We have obviously the grocery stores like Nature's Best and Eat Healthy Foods, because they have a real emphasis on providing lots of different fair trade items and local and organic almost all of the time. So what we're trying to encourage people to do is when you can buy local, and that's what you can buy local, and when you can't, when it needs to be an imported item, that we're buying fair trade. So we are looking for more businesses to be listed all of the time, and that's also because, again, we're just trying to make these options more accessible. And so if you look at all of the different items that are certified fair trade, some of them we don't really have in Saskatchewan, and so we're trying to encourage businesses to be selling more options. Like fair trade bananas is an interesting one that most people, you know, you've heard about coffee and chocolate, and maybe that's about it. Maybe you've heard about tea too. But when it comes to things like bananas, there's lots of opportunity for even more growth and more engagement with businesses and citizens as well. So,
you know, I think probably a lot of people have heard about the concept of fair trade, but maybe actually fewer will have heard about what CSAs or community supported agriculture is all about. And do you want to just give a little bit more background on that? Because here in Saskatchewan, I know there's a growing sector for community supported agriculture, but as I say, a lot of people still probably aren't aware of the opportunity to participate in it.
Right. And yeah, so community supported agriculture, and I will say personally that I'm not a total expert on all of these things. I'm learning alongside everyone else as well.
That's good.
But with community supported agriculture, basically citizens can pay to be a member, or to kind of have you could think about it also as like shares in a local farm. And through that, you get access to the produce that the farm farm produces. So it's a way to help share the risk and also the reward when you're doing an agricultural production, because there is a lot of that when crops are down, crops mm-hmm. are down, and when they're up, there's a lot to be shared. So it helps. The idea, the community supported, really tells you about what that model is.
So if I did participate as a consumer in community supported agriculture, there are some local options here close to Regina that people could.
Yeah, there are, and we have a few of them that are on the app. But again, we're always looking for more. So that's part of what trying to get the word out is to get more people involved. Getting more businesses, but getting more people to be asking about better options as well, because sometimes it can be hard to find. So,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
And flipping back to the discussion about fair trade options, mm-hmm. Some of the obvious places in Regina where people can maybe look at getting fair trade produce, I think it's worth mentioning a few of those if you've got time. And
sure. And the ones that come to my mind are Nature's Best and Eat Healthy Foods in Regina. Mm-hmm. In Saskatoon, I know that there's the Steep Hill Co-op
right.
is a really great place as well. Some of the easier items to find for fair trade, you can find at lots of major chains. So mm-hmm. your Safeway, your Extra Foods, those types of things. But when you get to the smaller local businesses, that's where you can see a lot wider of variety as well.
Cool. So the advantage is really for people when they're shopping and looking for fair trade in terms of supporting people who are, say, you mentioned growing coffee or the products that go into chocolate, all the rest of it. You're really helping people earn a decent living in another country and getting a good product by doing that.
Yeah, that's exactly what it's about, because with fair trade, it's not a perfect model. It has its problems, and there's lots of continuing discussion about how to continue to build on what's been created with the fair mm-hmm. trade model. But in general, the principles is that it ensures that farmers are receiving a fair price for their product, that there's environmentally sustainable processes being used, and there's generally a premium paid on top of the prices that goes back to be reinvested into the community. So often it's a co-op structure or something like that, where there is a community fund that the members actually vote on what they want to do with it. So that can go into community services like health or education or whatever it is that the community decides that they need to help continue to grow their businesses and grow their communities in the way that they want to. And like I said, we know that it's not a perfect model, and also, consumption, like ethical consumption, is kind of a problematic idea in itself too, because, consumerism isn't always the answer. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's buying less, it's changing what we do, but we know that when you can buy better options, you're helping to, give a vote for the world that you want to see, or just to be supporting alternative models that can that are rooted a bit more in justice or thinking about the environment and how these systems all work together. So
way I understand it, then, just going back to the discussion about the application and the website, this is kind of a dynamic thing where you're going to actually be able to add more businesses as you go along, and so people might look at it today and then come back a month from now and find some more listings in their area.
Yeah, that's exactly right. We're really in a growth stage. We've got about 60 businesses that are listed
really?
Right now.
Is that right?
Yeah, and again, it's across the province, mm-hmm. And of course, the majority are in Saskatoon and Regina. But we really want to expand out to a lot of the other centers, and not just in rural areas, but also just in the other towns and cities as well. And so, yeah, we're really looking to be expanding it. And it is focused on Saskatchewan right now, and that's our goal, because we knew that this information was a little bit lacking in Saskatchewan. But there, you know, you never know. It could have the potential to expand elsewhere, but right now it's for Saskatchewan people, and it's very focused on our province. Mm. So
this has taken a little while to develop that?
Yes, it has been. And it's, like I said, it's been a really interesting project, but, I'm really pleased with it. And I think we're getting lots of positive feedback, from it and the idea. Because of that, it's the time that we've put in is definitely worth it so far. It's really, it's really beautiful to look at, and I think that it's a pretty well put together product. So.
Cool. So, Jim, I think you were playing around and might have found that app on the phone. Is that right?
Yeah. Okay. I was just checking. Don't have my headphones on, so okay. I don't know whether I'm talking or not. Yeah.
We think you're there?
Yeah. I just downloaded it. Of course, my phone was just about dead when I started, but I plugged it into my MacBook here, so I don't have to worry about it dying while we're doing this. And... I'm having fun with it. First, I went to the Apple site, and that didn't work. I thought, jeepers, I'm doing something wrong. And you have to go to, is it Play Store? I think so.
If you're on the Android, then yeah. The easiest way that I like, you can find it in both of the stores, the Android, like the Play Store or the iStore. Mm-hmm. The easiest way that I like to tell people is just to open up your mobile browser and just go to the website, which is ethicaleats.ca, and then it will just launch a button for you to download it from the right store. It knows which platform you're on, too. So.
Oh, cool.
Well, I must have done something to confuse it, which is not unusual for me. Right, so I'm looking, learning all kinds of interesting stuff here. But I'm, yeah.
And one of the items that I, when I was learning about it, that I was kind of surprised to find out about is, I use fair trade bananas as an example. And when you look at how it's produced, the grower or the farmer generally only gets about 10% of the price that you're paying for a banana at the end of the day, right? And coffee is around the same, even less sometimes, I think. The idea that they're like all of these issues come together when we talk about food, when we're talking about human rights and poverty and hunger and the environment, all of these things connect with our food. And it's not only food a human right, but it's also something that connects us as humans. It's something that we all have in common. And that's why we really wanted to focus on food, because it's something that we can all relate to. And it's something that we can make a difference around. And like I said, when we're talking about ethical purchasing, it's one small part, but it's also something that you do every day.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so it's not, although they're big issues and they can seem far away, they aren't, because at the end of the day, we're connected to it, because we're the ones that are eating this food, especially a lot of the imported items that, you don't know where it comes from, or you're maybe concerned about the price of it, but you don't understand what's going into keeping those prices that low for these foods that are coming from thousands of miles away. So
maybe it's worth, just before the break, just spending a few minutes on the lecture that's happening at the University of Regina on Tuesday night, is it?
Yeah.
And just getting that information out for our listeners who are tuned in at this point.
Mm-hmm. So, as I mentioned, Dr. Vandana Shiva is coming on Tuesday evening. That's the 28th. She's going to be at the U of R Education Auditorium. The lecture starts at 7:30. It's free to come. Again, we're always about accessibility, so we want everyone that's interested to be able to join and to hear her. And she has quite an impressive background, but one of the projects that she's been working on, or projects that you can call it, more of a movement. She's very involved in social movements and farmers movements. And she's from India, and so the Navdanya is a project that she's been involved with for about 2 decades, I think 25 years. And it's a network of seed keepers and organic producers across India. And they've helped, in the past 20 years, they've helped set up 111 community seed banks and have trained over 500,000 farmers in seed sovereignty, food sovereignty, and sustainable agriculture. And she's also a leading figure, especially in India, around rejuvenating indigenous knowledge and culture when it comes to food. And so I'm really excited to be hearing what she has to say. I've heard bits and pieces of her lectures at different times. I've never had the opportunity to hear her speak live, but she's a very inspiring woman. I believe Forbes magazine had listed her as one of the 7 most powerful women in the world. So
really,
She's kind of a big deal. And so it's exciting to be listening to her. And when it comes to a big passion of hers and a lot of her time is being spent on the issue of seed diversity and patenting and genetically modified organisms. And so it's a complicated issue, and there's lots of differing opinions. Mm-hmm. But at the root of it, what she's concerned about, and what we're concerned about, and our members are concerned about, and citizens are concerned about, is this idea about patenting life, right? Mm-hmm. And when corporations are having, own the rights to life, mm-hmm. and to our food, that's a problem. And our, there's, I believe it's, Three companies control about over 50% of the global seed market. And they're also the same companies that own, the pesticides and the herbicides. And so you start to paint this picture. And when small farmers are dependent on these, traditions of saving seed and trading seeds, if they have to use these patented seeds, they have to buy them year after year after year. They're not allowed to save them generally. And
they're called suicide seeds.
Exactly. And so it really impinges on farmers' rights, on people's rights, on food sovereignty, and essentially at the end of the day on poverty and hunger, which is what we're concerned about. And so that's why we're really excited to be bringing her in.
Cool. So, Jim, just explain what you're saying there in terms of seeds and suicide seeds, because it's a concept I hadn't heard of before.
Oh, well, in their brilliance, and in order to increase sales, this has nothing to do with improving anything for anybody except sales, they have designed seeds that can only be used once. And the crop that comes off, unlike regular seeds that we're used to, like wheat or barley or oats, or farmers will keep some back as seed for the next year. They'll go to the seed cleaning plant and get the weed seeds out of it and all the rest of it. It's ready for planting. You cannot plant the crop that the GMO, these suicide seeds produce. They will not germinate. That's the way they're designed.
Okay.
So you have to go back and buy more seeds.
Okay.
So if you had a bad year, you've really had a bad year, because you're not going to be able to use... You're not going to be able to use the your crop that you had before as a seed,
right? Mm-hmm. And nothing to start with.
Nothing to start with. You have to have money.
Yeah.
And it just gets complicated from there.
Oh. Yeah, and that's been a big problem in the developing world the idea of the Green Revolution. Now this is going back a few decades, but the Green Revolution, is, especially in India, was saying that by using pesticides and herbicides, yep. and all this kind of stuff, that you're going to be increasing yields. But what ended up happening was that poor farmers couldn't necessarily afford all of those inputs to create these crops, and they didn't really see a huge rise in the yield. And what is commonly understood in a lot of the world is that small-scale farmers doing organic farming actually is ending up with higher yields. Mm-hmm. And so there's a lot of some might say misconceptions, some might say differing opinions about how it all actually works. But going back to Dr. Shiva, she was one of a leading figure in opposing this idea of the Green Revolution. And trying to expose that some of these things, you know, these higher yields and these ideas are myths, and that it's often trapping poor rural farmers in a cycle of dependency on these major corporations who are making massive profits off of it. And when we're talking about you know, the genetically modified part and the patenting of seeds and the breeding of seeds and all this kind of stuff, again, I will profess that I am not personally an expert on this, but I do know that there, you know, breeding of seeds has been happening for a long time, and it's been, mm-hmm. but it's been happening by farmers, it's been happening by public research, mm-hmm. and that everyone has had access to the seeds and the seed banks and things like that.
Right.
The difference with the corporations is that they own it, mm-hmm. right? And so it's taking, it's again that crossing that line between, mm-hmm. You know, between life, basically,
right.
food and life, mm-hmm. and a commodity, and that's where a lot of these issues center around. So
right, and that's opposed to, like, there was a device that's been in place for years. Farmers that specialize in growing seeds, they are seed growers. Mm-hmm. But again, once again, when you get that seed, it's yours, and the crop from the following year, you can plant again. That's yours. You know, it's totally unlike the model that the corporations want.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about the profit that, mm-hmm. that they're going to make. So it's all about maximizing profit.
Mm-hmm.
And further to what you're talking about, India, I think they have an ongoing problem there that you're probably aware of, is the suicide rates among these small farmers is skyrocketing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they'll find out they are absolutely despairing. And their only way out is to mm-hmm. is suicide, which is very sad.
Yeah, it's a big problem in India. But I mean, if you look at, you know, I just thinking about agriculture in general, and you know, talking about that again, that community supported model, because there is major risks when your livelihood is centered around. You know, these crops, and if they fail, that's it. And when you're increasingly tied more and more to the market and at the whim of market prices, then you're that much more vulnerable. And I mean, we've seen the same things with farmers here in Saskatchewan, right?
Right.
And so on the one hand, you know, I think it's a problem that's exacerbated in developing countries where, there's that much more dependency and you're that much closer to, you know, you miss a crop and you have nothing,
sure.
right? You don't really have a security blanket, where we have a bit more of that here in Canada and in our social institutions and things
right.
like that. But in general, I think that you know, if you look at the broader picture, I think it's also just an issue with the people who are growing our food and who are dependent on food and the environment and all of these interconnected issues for their livelihoods, because it can be a very vulnerable place to be. So, you know, I think it works, you know, I think more sustainable models are one that are built more around community support,
mm-hmm.
more around social supports, and recognizing that food is a right and that it's not just a commodity that should be at the whims of markets, because it's much more important than that. We depend on it. So,
and we've reached the bottom of the hour. So we have to take a break. And you were talking about Dr. Vandana Shiva.
Yeah.
Vandana. Okay. I wrote that down. I said something different.
I think it might actually be pronounced Vandana.
Vandana?
But I'm, yes.
Anyway, we have kind of some of her snippets from her lectures in a video, which is really powerful. We're going to play that after our break.
Great.
So we'll go to the break here now, come out with these sort of quotes from Dr. Shiva, and then we'll continue our conversation.
We can. We are the future.
There should be no scarcity.
The power of the seed, the seed, the seed, the seed.
that in each tiny little seed, millions of seeds will grow. Each generation a multiplication of millions. There should be no scarcity.
In the midst of three major crises, the crisis of finance, of food, of the environment are all rooted in the same causes. We're being ruled by greed. And as Gandhi said, the earth has enough for everyone's needs, but it doesn't have enough for some people's greed. Some people's greed. We're being ruled by corporations. The current system enshrined in the World Trade Organization, also enshrined in the World Bank and IMF rules of conditionalities and structural adjustment, assumes that everything is a commodity. Everything has a price. Nothing has value. Seed is a commodity. Land is a commodity. Water is a commodity. People are commodities. Food is a commodity. Now, every one of us has significance. I became a scientist because I was told as a little child of 5 years old, to do science is to know the truth. And I'm addicted to truth seeking. And because of that, I want to tell you, GMOs do not produce more food. That's a lie. That's a lie. GMOs are not a solution to the climate crisis. They'll make it worse. We cannot afford this experiment to carry on. The globalized economy based on greed is failing us. We cannot afford this experiment to carry on. All we have to do is remember how our mothers fed the world. We will stop this commodification of the world. We will reclaim the intrinsic value of every life on earth. We can. We are the future. Let's make it happen.
Well, pretty powerful stuff. We were just talking about Dr. Vandana, and it occurred to me with her message, what she's going to be talking about, what we've been talking about here this morning, that there likely is some pushback from our corporate friends.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. What's your take on it, Robbie?
Well, I think that, when you see very high profile people trying to disrupt what people just kind of take for granted as the reality, and that there's a lot of companies that have a lot at stake if people don't want what they're selling, I mean, there's always going to be that pushback. And because of that, she is pretty controversial. And I think, you know, you were mentioning at the break that people can feel threatened by highly educated people. And I think there's some of that that's happening as well. But in general, you know, the issue, especially when it comes to GMOs, is very, very, is still very controversial. And that's because a lot of the science isn't totally set yet. But there is more and more evidence increasingly that GMOs are not the way that we should be doing things. And, you know, some people are speculating that at a certain point, you know, it's going to be like nicotine, right? Or in cigarettes, it's like, no, you just, it's not good for us, right? Mm-hmm. Whereas, you know, just the, right now we're kind of complacent and understand that it's just the way that it is. And, but yeah, you're right. I think that there are people that are threatened by it, but it's also a big issue that there isn't a lot of clear information on. And, you know, the general public in some ways is confused about this issue and is looking for those answers, right?
It's called misinformation.
So maybe just take a minute for the people who might have tuned in during the second half of the program and share again where the lecture will be and who the guest speaker is and what day it is and all that kind of detail. And also, I understand this is really part of a significant anniversary for SCIC, mm-hmm. So maybe just throw that out for everybody who's listening.
Sure. So again, it's happening this Tuesday, October 28th. It's at the U of R in the Education Auditorium. The lecture starts at 7:30, but we're opening the doors at 7, also because there is no tickets, because it's free. So if you're concerned about a seat, you might want to come a little bit earlier. But again, we're not opening the doors until 7, so please don't come earlier than that. and yeah, so it's Dr. Vandana Shiva, a very high-profile Indian activist. And environmentalist. She's done lots of work when it comes to feminism and farmers' rights and poverty and you know, and seed diversity. And this is one of her biggest issues. And the title of her lecture is called Earth Democracy. So she really brings together all of these interconnected issues and talks about it through food. So Right. So it is our 40th anniversary this year. SEIC was formed in 1974. So, and one of the reasons why we wanted to bring Vandana in is because in SEIC's early days, we also did a lot of work on these same issues, which can be frustrating when you look back at some of the issues. When we work for global justice and poverty, I mean, celebrating 40 years is a bittersweet thing, right? We should, you know, it's unfortunate that we still have to be doing this work. And especially when you look at issues that we've talked about before. But because of that, we wanted to kind of revisit the issue and see where the world is at right now, because it was in the late 70s that we were really involved with the plant opposition to the plant breeders' rights. And that part of that was some of our members, like the National Farmers Union, who are members of SEIC, continuing, and they're going to be at the event. And so a lot of our members are continuing to work on these food issues, and we have been for a long time. And so it's something that we've always been concerned with. And so on our 40th anniversary, we really wanted to kind of put it in the forefront and to have a big conversation about it. So,
you know, I was just thinking as you were talking, in terms of the 40th anniversary of SCIC, the Saskatchewan Council for International Cooperation, that's a really significant milestone for mm-hmm. for your organization, and sometimes people may forget as well that you've got a lot of amazing member agencies or organizations that participate you might want to just take a few minutes and share some information mm-hmm. about what they're all about and who some of the more notable ones are, and maybe even some of the less well-known ones.
Right. So I guess we never actually said who SCIC is.
Yeah,
so
no, that's
so to broaden that out, SCIC is, at its core, we're a coalition of organizations who are working in the province that do international development work and are committed to human rights, poverty, the environment. And this is what we all organize around. And so, like you said, we were talking about 40 years. That is a significant milestone. And on the one hand, you think about what it means to be working for poverty elimination for 40 years. But on the other hand, we are really having a celebratory anniversary, because what it means to us is that it's 40 years of these groups continuing to work together, continuing to be fighting for justice in the face of, in many cases, increasing issues. And so it's really that coalition that is still really strong. And that's what the 40th anniversary celebratory aspect is about. And I mentioned some of our members, again, that when we were talking about food, there's a lot of our members that are really working on these issues right now. And so one is the National Farmers Union. And so they are based in Saskatoon, but they're a national organization. And Development and Peace has actually just released a big campaign around a lot of these same issues, farmers' rights, small-scale farmers, seed diversity issues. Their campaign is called So Much Love. And so we're really excited about that one, as well as USC Canada. They're doing tons of work on seed diversity, and they are really making mm-hmm. the connections between Canada and overseas. So all of our members are doing work overseas to support people on the ground that are working for a better life. And when we're doing seed work with USC, they're doing it also in Canada as well. So they're helping farmers in Canada to save their seeds, mm-hmm. to create diversity, or to maintain diversity, or right. help improve diversity. Mm-hmm. And so those are some of the ones that that are working on a lot of these issues right now, as well as Oxfam. So Oxfam in Saskatoon is a member of ours, and at the national level, they always have amazing campaigns. And specifically two that come to mind right now is their Grow campaign, which is all about food and connects people to all of these issues, as well as their Behind the Brands campaign. And that really connects people to some of the biggest companies that are involved in food justice issues. So, you know, companies like Coca-Cola that are really implicated in land grabs, mm-hmm. You know, displacing farmers. Occasionally there's violence against farmers to get access to the land for sugar crops for export for their products, right? So they did a really great campaign trying to get people to directly engage with these companies to help, or to get them to improve their practices around human rights and around biodiversity and these types of things. So that's just a snippet of our members. Mm-hmm. We have a lot more. We have around 70 members. So.
Really? Is that right? That's fabulous.
Yeah. And I'm trying to think more at the local level. We've got the Saskatoon Peace Coalition. So we have everything from large organizations that do a lot of work overseas on the ground and with partners in the developing world. And then we have local organizations that are committed to the same values as us, committed to working for peace and cooperation and justice, working on local poverty issues. And so it really is the spectrum of people that are working for justice here and abroad, and to make those linkages. So,
wow. That's great. Hmm. And we were talking earlier in the first part about some of the great resources you've got for teachers and students who are wanting to learn more about international development issues, and mm-hmm. you've got some more things underway in that regard.
Yeah, we're really excited. We're still in the planning stages for a lot of the new programs that we're going to be rolling out, but we've done a lot of work with teachers and students around getting global education in the classroom, and through that we've helped teachers get lesson plans, because they often don't have the resources to teach these issues, because they're complicated and it's hard to explain even to adults. So sometimes, mm-hmm, you know, it's, mm-hmm. you need that much more help when you're bringing it into a classroom setting. And so still on our website, we have all of the lesson plans that teachers can access, but in the future, we're going to be expanding them a little bit more, working a lot more directly with teachers, to help them become experts in really teaching these issues. And we're also going to be looking at taking students overseas to actually visit some of our member projects to learn about what it actually means to be a global citizen, to understand how we're connected to those abroad, and to bring those experiences back home to Saskatchewan and to teach other students about it, to really open their eyes. So we're super excited about that program as well.
Wow.
we've always got a lot on the go.
Yeah,
sometimes it's hard. Yeah, it's hard to keep it straight. Right. And actually, one more thing that I would mention is that we had the comic series for teachers and students that talked about the Millennium Development Goals, which of course are wrapping up in 2015. And we've got our global action calendar out where we've taken the Millennium Development Goals and are talking about where we're at with them, what's been achieved, what was left to work on, and to also talk about what's coming after the 2015 goals. So it's actually a free 16-month beautiful calendar.
Wow.
That talks about all of these things. And again, it's a global action calendar, so it has all of the resources for people to take action and to learn more about these issues. So I did want to plug that because I said it once, I'll say it again, they're free and we want people to have them. So if you're interested, you can just connect with us. You can email us. You can follow us on Facebook and Twitter, and just send us a message and we'll get you one.
Excellent.
So I guess as part of that, maybe just now I'll just mention the website.
Yeah. Good idea. I was just going to ask that.
So the website is earthbeat.sk.ca, or you can just search for SCIC or the Saskatchewan Council for International Cooperation.
And it'll point you in that direction.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
Yeah. Cool. So, Robbie, you've been on this program before, and in the context of, and I wasn't one of the hosts that day, but Jim was. But it was a great program, and a lot of people listened to it and shared the podcast. So that program was about your work and travels to Guatemala.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wondered, you're going to be speaking again. We shared this at the beginning of the program, but it's probably worth mentioning again. You're going to be speaking at the Unitarian Center here in Regina.
Mm-hmm.
When is that?
November 23rd, Sunday.
Wow.
10:30.
Okay. And that's okay for anybody? Like, you don't have
that's
to be
right. Yep.
Member of the Unitarian Fellowship to...
Free coffee.
Oh. All right.
You didn't tell me that before.
I make it myself.
So, and maybe just share a little bit about what you're going to be talking about.
Sure. So in May, I traveled to Guatemala to learn about Canadian mining operations. And basically it was a solidarity tour to really hear from people on the ground, primarily Indigenous people who are really fighting back against mining on their traditional territories, against violence that's happening. And I just wanted to learn more about how Canada is involved and how I was benefiting from these things as a Canadian citizen and as someone who benefits from the Canadian pension plan.
Explain that. How are you benefiting from the... What's the involvement there with the Canadian pension plan?
Of course. So the mining companies that are operating overseas, we're heavily invested in them.
Oh.
And so some of these companies such as Goldcorp and Tahoe Resources. These are some of the big players that have been implicated in human rights violations. And our economy is heavily, heavily invested in them. We, through direct investments through banks and through investment funds and private investment funds, but also the Canada Pension Plan itself is very invested in these companies as right. well. And so once you start to kind of dig into that, you start to see a little bit more about, why it's such a deeply rooted mm-hmm. issue and why the development is going so full throttle ahead. And it's taking a while for the message to trickle down to the Canadian public about,
right.
About what's happening. And so, once I understood that I was directly mm-hmm. implicated in it, that was kind of when I made my decision to learn a bit more about it, to see how I can take some responsibility for at least my part mm-hmm. in it. And so I'm trying to spread the message, to other people about that. Not everyone. I know that I was lucky to be able to do that mm-hmm. experience. And so, trying to just help other people access that as well. And so as part of that is Amnesty is involved in the
Open for Justice campaign,
right?
That's
so right. This is a lot of the same issues. It's working for, transparency and accountability for mining companies overseas.
Yeah. And, there's been some really important things that have taken place relative to that over the last year, and the campaign around the Open for Justice is readily available on the amnesty.ca site, and we'd encourage people to kind of go there and take a look and see what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
So is that your first opportunity to kind of do some international work yourself, Robbie, or have you done other things?
I've done that was the first experience that was really focused on development work
right.
or on human rights and around right. justice issues. That was my first opportunity. I've done a bit of traveling overseas before, which was my first step in kind of just opening my eyes a little bit wider to the fact that we're connected
mm-hmm.
just in a very basic understanding. And so, I mean, if anyone that has the ability to travel, I mean, that's a first step. It mm-hmm. really is to thinking a little bit broader about our world and about what, how other people see it and what that means. And I'm not talking about staying in a 5-star resort because you won't see any of that.
Right.
But mm-hmm. that being said, that's also a very privileged position to be in. Not everyone has that opportunity. So mm-hmm. that's part of what we're trying to do in the province, is just to make this information and these actions available to people here at home, and to make those connections with what you can do in your own life here, because, you know, at the end of the day, it's about how we live our lives. It's
exactly.
not about, you know, traveling around the world too. So
it just occurs to me that it's something we should all be doing more of. And most of us just sort of skate along. We have our, if you're fortunate to have a good job, and you've got money in the bank, and you can buy your car, and you can buy your food and your house and all the rest of that. And you don't even think about where all these things come from, mm-hmm. how it happens that we have them, and why other people don't in some other countries. Some have nothing. Mm-hmm. Some don't know what they're going to eat or where they're going to sleep from one day to the next. And we're in a really privileged position. And I think it bears some thinking about as to why we're here, you know, and how some people are actually unwillingly sacrificing things so that we have the things we have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's exactly right. And like we said before, I mean, these are all very interconnected issues, but that's really what is that, for me anyways, what's at the root of justice work, right? It's mm-hmm. it's thinking about your position in the world and just having an appreciation for that and a responsibility to understand how it is that you've come to be in that position. And you know, the mining issue is one that definitely made it very clear for me when it comes to our financial systems and the environment. But then you look at the food issues that we're talking about and ethical eats, and that is this, it's the same thing. It's thinking about where these things come from, taking responsibility for our own place in it, and to help support systems that are built more around justice and equality than around ease and convenience and cost, keeping costs low. So that's really why it's a really great tool, because it connects people in their everyday lives to thinking about that reality and how we actually fit in.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I don't know what, as a final parting thought here, we're getting close to the end. I think that we should all be thinking about ways in which we could change the way we live so that we don't end up harming the people that we do with our way of life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but if we don't know about it, if we don't know how we're harming others because of our way of life, then there's no chance of doing anything about it. So mm-hmm. I think we have an obligation to learn, as you've taken the time to go and travel and learn some of the things that are involved. That's my thought.
I agree.
Great.
I agree.
Good conclusion.
Yes. Great.
Well done.
We got about a minute and a half left here, so let's go over the event upcoming again with Dr.
Right.
Shiva.
So again, Dr. Vandana Shiva will be speaking, giving her Earth Democracy Lecture at the University of Regina in the Education Auditorium on Tuesday. This coming Tuesday, the 28th at 7.